Number 57, Rejoice and Be Glad. The Redeemer has come. Oh, look on his cradle, his cross, and his tomb. Number 57.
Seated. You may be seated. Let's turn in our Bible to just a verse in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, and verse 19. Philippians 4, 19. This was a very comforting closing verse. The Apostle Paul writing to the church at Philippi, and he gives this word of comfort. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let's apply that to our worship this morning. The Lord will supply all our need, all the listening skills we need, all the faith that we need, all the wisdom that we may take God's word to our hearts, and spiritual strength to go do it. As someone said, when the sermon is preached, it's only half over. The other half is to go and do it. And so let us pray that God will today supply all our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We come in Jesus' name. We come under his headship to worship our God. And therefore, we pray that through him, we will know every supply of grace to our hearts. Let's unite in prayer. Father, we thank thee for gathering us here this Lord's Day morning here in your presence. And Lord, we take this text and we rejoice in it, that God will supply our need. We confess, O Lord, that if we were to try and work up faith, we couldn't do it. If we were to work up wisdom, we couldn't do it. But Lord, you've promised us wisdom. You've promised us faith. You've promised us the Holy Spirit. to supply our needs. And through the name of the Lord Jesus, that we have a title and that we may enjoy every spiritual blessing. And I pray this for each brother and sister here today, each worshiper, O Lord, that individually, one by one, we will know that supply of the Lord ministering to our hearts. And I need that in the pulpit today too. Lord, I pray that thou wilt supply my need right now, that I might speak the Lord's word, that I might be a good minister of Jesus Christ, a good ambassador of the Savior, and that we will beseech men in Christ's stead. And so we pray for a great ministry of grace to every one of our souls. We thank thee for salvation today. We thank thee for the gospel, the good news that the Lord Jesus saves, that the work of Calvary is finished, a sacrifice has been offered, God has accepted the payment, Jesus is risen again from the dead, and is now seated at the Father's right hand, interceding for us. Oh, for all these benefits and blessings, we give thee praise and ask that you will come and revive our souls this day. Lord, send us a quickening, a renewing of our hearts and minds as we spend time in your house, in your word, and in prayer together. Lord, meet the need of your people. We think of every need that is represented in homes and families. Oh, Lord, be gracious to pour in your blessing and to supply the need of every home and every heart. We thank thee, Lord, that there's not a problem too great for thee. There is not a sickness that is too devastating for thee. There is not a decision that is impossible for God. O Lord, you can supply the need, and we cry out to thee to work mightily. We pray for thy church in this land. We pray for the power of the gospel. Lord, again, we are dependent upon thee to supply the need. We pray that you'll give us preachers. Send preachers of the word. Send the light of the gospel into this nation. And grant, Lord, that you'll be glorified in calling out a people to worship thee and serve thee all their days. We pray for our missionaries today as well. Lord, supply their needs. And we realize that they face difficulties that we cannot even comprehend. They have challenges that are beyond our imagination. But Lord, you're their God, and you're their sender, and you're their helper. And we pray that you will supply every need they have. Remember the preaching of thy word in these lands. O God, send forth the Holy Ghost to give power to your word. And so hear us today. Oh, let us rest and rejoice together in our Savior. Come and tarry in our midst today. Let us know your blessing and your speaking voice to our hearts. We ask it all and plead it all in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. 593 is our next hymn. 593. Let's turn there and we'll sing together this hymn. Oh, for a faith that will endure, though pressed by many a foe. 593. Let's stand as we sing, please. be seated. Some hymns are just way too short, and we're getting into them when it's all over, so we might have to revisit that one again. Our Bible reading today is 2 Chronicles, chapter 14. It's a short chapter, and we're going to read together from verse 1. I trust you'll read along in your own copy of God's Word. 2 Chronicles, chapter 14, and verse 1. Where is 2 Chronicles? Well, it's one of those first and second books, first and second Samuel, first and second Kings, and then we come to first, second Chronicles. Chapter 14, and we'll read from the very opening verse. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and broke down the images and cut down the groves. And commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images. And the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, Let us build these cities, and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah, 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows, 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. And there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots, and came unto Maresha. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Maresha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. They smote also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. Amen. May God in his grace speak to your heart through his word and bless you abundantly today. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of this morning service. May the Lord bless you richly. What a beautiful Sunday morning after the rain. You may notice that the grass didn't get cut yesterday. There was a plan to do it, but the rain came, and it came heavy and hard for quite a while. And so we have an abundance of green. It always looks greener and fresher on a sunny day after the rain. What a blessing, and what a picture of blessing that is, as we think of the Lord's work when he sends the rain upon his own work of the gospel. Let's pray for rain on our own hearts and our own lives, and blessing even here now in this service. This evening we have our 6 p.m. service. We invite you back again, and we trust that you'll be with us all of the Lord's Day. We also have refreshments to follow. And pray for the ministry of God's Word. We're all done the book of Revelation now. I hope you're not shouting amen. That's a good thing. I hope that you have been blessed through that. But we move on now to a new area, and I'm going to look at the promise where the Lord said to the Apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And that's a great text. That's a great text. A wonderful promise that was given to the Apostle. And it addresses so many things in our lives. And I want you to come join with us for the evening service at 6. We also plan to have refreshments. This is the final Sunday of the month. And we look forward to fellowship. Bring a little, let's share a little as we come this evening for 6 p.m. Through the week, we have two prayer meetings, Wednesday, 7:30. That's our midweek meeting for everybody. Then Saturday evening, 7:30 for men, because next Sunday is communion, first Sunday in the month. So that's our plan for the week. We trust the Lord will bless you, keep you, and keep his hand upon you until we meet again. Our next hymn for the offering is number 600. It's a hymn I've chosen in relation to the text we're going to look at today, number 600. "We rest on thee, our shield and our defender." 600, keep our seats until the offering's received.
Help us to honor thee, to go in thy name. And we ask that you would take our tithes and offerings, that you would bless them, that you would use them, that the gospel may go forth. Bless the message wherever it lands, that it would work in hearts, that you would save souls. We ask that you would help our pastor now to open your word, to preach that message you've laid on his heart. Help us all to take it in. Help us to listen. Take away distractions, take away fears, and help us to honor thee in our lives, with our tongues, with our actions. All glory to thee. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Great to see our brother Jay Cheam back with us again. That's a pleasant surprise. May the Lord bless you, brother. Let's stand for verses 3 and 4, please, of this hymn. 3 and 4.
Thank you.
Father, we thank Thee for this opportunity to minister Your Word. O God, we have every confidence that it is the inerrant, infallible, inspired revelation of God. And we pray that we will have that spirit of trembling at Your Word, that we will handle it with great care, and that we will receive it by faith and rejoice in the blessings that are promised within it. We ask Thee now to be our teacher and our guide. Give us the Holy Spirit to prompt us. And Lord, we pray for power, spiritual power, to supply our need. The need is spiritual power at this moment. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask and pray these things. Amen. Amen. Our text in this chapter, 2 Chronicles 14, is verse 11. The word of King Asa, who, by the way, is number 5 on the throne, if you count downward from King David, Solomon, Rehoboam, Abijah, and then Asa. Our chapter began with Abijah slept with his fathers. And be not deceived, that was not just sleep, that was death. And yet the Bible frequently likens death to sleep. It is for the Christian just to close your eyes and awaken in that world where just men are made perfect. What a great thing to be a Christian. What a wonderful thing to live and die as a believer in the Lord Jesus. Asa, this man who is now on the throne, met a great crisis. The crisis was a million-man army led by Zerah, an Ethiopian king. He was coming up from Egypt, up from the south, and he was laying out his army near Gaza. If you look on the map, you'll see it right across from the place of Gaza. There's a vast valley there. And a million-man army with 300 chariots. Now, chariots in those days were fearful things, especially to Israel, who did not use horses. They did not have cavalry. And when chariots were employed, they were like tanks that were going to tip the scale in many battles. And when he was faced with this army against him, and he had mustered his own forces, we were about half of the manpower, he prayed in this verse, 11. Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against thee. You can hear the words of the hymn we just sang, Finlandia, we rest on thee. And that was what every Christian is called to do, to rest on the Lord. Now, you've heard that before, haven't you? But think of it this week. Have you done it? Have you been resting your needs, your cares, your trials and battles on the Lord? Most of us need to have the steering wheel of life thrust away from us so that we're no longer in control. And that's exactly what happened to Asa. He was brought to the point where he was no longer in control. He was just about to be mulched by a powerful foreign enemy to destroy him. And so all he could do was to cry out and cast his everything upon the Lord. And in this prayer, we see him doing that. Now, can we pray like that? Do you pray like that? Really? We have to be brought to a crisis point often to really pray as Asa did in this occasion. Now, the history of King Asa's rule as king of Judah was one of ease to this point. For a number of years, he had rest. There was no war. He was able to build cities, gather his armies, and do all the routine of training and preparing armies. He himself had 300,000 men of Judah. The men of Benjamin were 280,000. And so he had a significant army for peacetime. So he had the luxury of building up an army during those years. But when Zerah came with this mighty, mighty army against him, well, he was in trouble. And the lesson really that we learn here is the greatness of Asa's God. The littleness of Asa in the face of a mighty army, but the greatness of God in his day of trouble. And every Christian needs to be able to do that. When we live in this world, we're faced with all kinds of problems, trials, difficulties, maybe even enemies, situations that we think is impossible, there's no way out of. We need to realize the greatness of God and that he is able to deliver us. Now, before we get into the great lessons of Asa's prayer, let me point out something else here, that good men can get into trouble. You look at verse 2, you will see the good life, the good leadership, the things that this man did in the eyes of the Lord that were good. Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And for a number of years, things went very well. But in the lives of God's people, things do not always go well. There are sudden surprises. There are turns and tips. Indeed, as it was said, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. There are going to be days of trial. There are going to be days of trouble. And it is then we need to learn to pray as Asa prayed. And so our sermon today is really on how to rest on the Lord, how to take our case to the Lord and pray as Asa did. Firstly, let me say, we need to rest in God's power to help. Did you notice how Asa put it? It is nothing with thee to help, with many or with few. It is nothing. And he referred to the Lord, and you'll see the uppercase capital letters, meaning Jehovah. That was the covenant name of the God of Israel, the great and mighty God. And it is a reality that our view of God is too small. That's just the reality. Even when we're on our knees praying, our views of God are too small. And we need to remember how mighty and majestic he is. The God of creation, the God of the universe, the God who hung the stars on nothing, who upholds this world by the word of his power. There is no chain holding up the world. God, by his breath, is constantly, continually holding this very world in its place in the universe. In history, of course, he's the God who fought against Pharaoh, that mighty force which led Israel captive. And when God led his people out, think of how God fought for Israel, both in the 10 plagues, in the opening of the sea, drowning of Pharaoh's army, and delivering Israel safely on the other side as they began their 40 years of freedom in the wilderness. That's the God that we have in picture here. Now, the amazing thing is that when Asa prayed, God answered, and the Ethiopians were smitten. If you notice there in verse 12, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa. Now, I pondered, I should have been more attentive to the text in verse 12 when I was sitting pondering in my mind, how did God do that? You know, did he do what he did in Joshua's day to send great hailstones or stop the sun in its tracks? Or did God send an angel? There's another case where God sent an angel to smite 185 Syrians one night, one blast. God can do any of those things. But if you read carefully in verse 12, you'll notice that God did none of those things. It simply tells us that God withered the Ethiopian army under Asa's army by normal warfare. There was no supernatural intervention. There were no great catastrophes that struck these Ethiopians. But somehow, the battle went well for Judah, and somehow it went ugly for the Ethiopians. All their attempts failed. All their efforts to charge the Israelites came to nothing. And every charge of the Israelites was successful. And just by attrition and by normal warfare over battle, Israel got the victory. The Ethiopians were totally routed. And if you had been sitting on a hill with a pair of binoculars watching the battle, you would have said nothing strange here. But somehow the smaller army, the Judahites and the Benjamites, they conquered. And it was seeming strange. How did that come? And the only answer is God helped his people. God helped his people. And in your life, you will find that there are many times that God is intervening and helping you, not through some strange phenomenon, some mighty noted miracle, but just giving you the victory. Little by little, day by day, battle by battle, issue by issue, and life goes well because you have learned to pray to a great God. And you know that God undertakes for you, and he demonstrates his power and his grace in your own life. There have been many times in history when God has given the victory to small armies against great foes. And I was teasing a little bit yesterday morning at our men's prayer breakfast because we had Jonathan with us. And there is a bit of history that he knows very well, and I raised it yesterday about the Spanish Armada. Way back, the King of Spain, who was Catholic, was trying to defeat British naval power, not just to gain riches, but to destroy Protestantism. And it was a battle against a Catholic King of Spain and the British Royal Protestant House of England. And the Spanish put together a tremendous fleet of ships. They were large, they were strong, and of course they would carry thousands and thousands of troops to raid and invade England. Well, that armada was well known. They were well known that they were building one, and well known that they were coming. And it is also known that the British people prayed. And God sent a great wind, which destroyed that armada and blew them right up the English Channel between England and France, right up to the north of Scotland. And then they were harried and followed by the British Navy until they went right up over the top of Scotland, down the west, out of the Atlantic. And many perished. Many didn't return. And it was, well, this victory of Asa was quoted. Even Shakespeare quoted in one of his plays these very words of King Asa. God does help his people. And even Jonathan agrees with that one. Even Spaniards have to recognize that God's hand was in on that battle. We lose sight of what God can do in real life terms in our lives. And I know that life is filled with great stress these days. Work, job, career, studies, marital needs, issues, children. Christian families are facing struggles, I believe, like never before. And sometimes they bring us to the place where we know that we are no longer in control. And we have to come as Asa and say, Lord, it's nothing with thee to help. You have the power to help. And we can pray this, whether it's sin, Satan, whether it's our evangelism, something we are contemplating as a church. How do we reach our nation? How do we reach souls around us? It seems impossible. Yet we must not lose sight of that it's nothing with God to help, either with many or few. And so get our eyes on the Lord. The hymnist put it, "Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such none can ever ask too much." And so let that be a strengthening of your prayer life, that God is able, God is mighty and able to do exceedingly good. Now, next thing to notice in this prayer is that we rest in God's place to help. Help us, O Lord, our God. See how Asa prays it? He leaned upon the place of God to help. Now, what does a God do? A God helps, protects. That's what the heathen do when they pray to their gods. The heathen pray to their gods of the sun, the moon, Venus, the various stars, or sometimes they have animal gods that they pray to, and in times of need, in times of war, in times of distress, they pray for the help of their gods. Well, we as Christians have a great God. Our God is great, and he's our helper, and he is our protector. And Asa had no difficulty calling out to the Lord Jehovah to fight for him, because he says, "Thou art our God. Thou art our God." And a Christian is a person who is rightly related to God through the Lord Jesus. And he's our God. He's not just the God. He's not just the Creator. He is our God. He is with us and he is for us. And so what we need to learn to do is to go to the promises of the Bible and plead them, and learn how to appropriate and apply them to our own lives, to our own situations. And you can do that as a Christian, because you are, through Christ, rightly related to God. Now, there are many, many promises in the Bible. One of the first and the great promises is in Genesis 15:1, where the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Now that's what you would call a full package deal promise. I am thy shield. There you are to protect. And thy exceeding great reward. In other words, you'll not lose out by serving me. You won't be a loser by being a Christian. I am, and it's God himself. It's not an angel. It's not an institution. It's not principles. It is God himself coming to the attention and to the need of his people. And then in Exodus, Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today." And we know that at that point, God opened up the very seas, the Red Sea, and led his people right across. Another promise in Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be of strong and of a good courage, fear not, neither be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee or forsake thee." Now, you can glean such promises from almost every page of the Bible. But what are you doing with them as a Christian? Are you turning them that it's God's place to be your helper, to be with you, and to meet every need of your heart? Are you hurting today? Have you been wounded by the world and the robbery of sin? Then go to the Lord Jesus for help. Get the help that is in him. Trust him. Call on him. Recognize that it is his place to come to your aid. And his promises, he will not fail you. He will not turn away from you or turn you away from him. Do it. Do it. Just do it. Call on the Lord and he will help you. Now, another thing that we see in this prayer, going back here to 2 Chronicles 14:11, to this text that we're looking at, and we'll see here, it says, "Is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee." And rest in God's pride of name to help. Now, that might seem a strange thing to put as a heading in a sermon. God's name, his pride of name. Is God proud? In a way, yes. God is proud. He is jealous of his own name. And you'll notice how that is pleaded right here. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. And we know that God is indeed jealous of his own name. And in the beginning of the Ten Commandments, the Lord said, I am a jealous God. For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord God, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. And that means, therefore, it is his delight to glorify his own name, to magnify his own name, to exalt himself. Now, that would be wrong for you, and it would be wrong for me. We're not here today to exalt ourselves. We're here today to humble ourselves. We bow the knee in worship, and we exalt the name of the Lord. And we see here that Asa laid hold upon this fact, and he prayed in those terms that God's name would be exalted and honored. And notice how careful Asa was about the honor of God's name. Let not man prevail against thee. Asa was not worried about his own name, but he was worried about the honor of God's great name. And see how he lifted the whole matter, the whole battle, up to the honor of God's great name. These people were coming against God's people, God's kingdom, God's cause. Therefore, he prayed on that very term of God's name. Now, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, and you're not saved, you're a sinner, you are lost, and you're saying, well, I would call on God to save me, do it for God's glory. Make the prayer, Lord, glorify your name in saving me from sin and hell. Get the glory, Lord, out of my life as I bow the knee to trust and wait upon you. And then, of course, for the Christian, here is a lesson for you in your prayer life. Make your prayers not so much about yourself, but make your prayers to do more with God, his honor, his glory, and his kingdom. And when you pray on that basis, Lord, let me, like John the Baptist said, let me decrease, and that the Lord might increase. And when your prayers are balanced with that personal humility and a concern for God's glory, then you learn how to pray biblically, and you'll learn how to pray with power and for the needs of the Lord's people. And wherever we see God's honor at stake, we should turn this to prayer. Now, I want you to think about a number of ways that we can turn our prayers for God's glory, even in his church. What about the empty seats in the church? How could we pray about these empty seats, these vacancies that we have in the house of worship? What about those who come sporadically and attend God's house so little? What about people who don't get food for their souls and are more and more leaning toward the world and the thinking of the world, and they're going to crash and fall? What are we praying about here? Surely we should be praying for the Lord's church and the Lord's people, for the Lord's honor, for his name, for his glory. And then we would be praying like Asa, when there's coldness of heart. And it might be your own heart. It might be your own life that you're praying about. Not just your friend or your congregational member, but your own heart. Lord, I feel a coldness. Lord, I feel the world is coming in like a flood. You promised, Lord, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that you'll raise up a standard against it. Lord, take a hold of my life. Put a new fire and a new zeal in me. Not for my honor, but for your honor, that I might live the Christian life that I ought to live. And then there is our lack of impact on our community. Let's be honest. The multitudes in Cloverdale, and I don't know the exact population of Cloverdale anymore, it's growing all the time. Used to be around 20,000, it's way, way beyond that now. But the vast population of this community hardly even knows this church is here. They hardly even know. If you were to ask someone in Cloverdale, do you know where the Free Presbyterian Church is? They would hardly know. Just ask your neighbor. Ask your neighbor, do you know where the Free Presbyterian Church is? Don't tell them you're going there. Don't say anything about your them. Just ask, do you know that church? And we're brought to our knees to realize just the lack of impact. The lack of impact. There was a day, and maybe not so long ago, when the local church was a landmark in the community. It had something of a sphere of influence that impacted the lives of all in that community. But not today. Where is the Lord's glory in this? And we need to bring that concern. Now, I see also in the Psalms, when I read the Psalms, that this concern about God's glory is again the underlying tone of prayer. For example, Psalm 115:1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and thy truth's sake. And this is something we need to learn when we come to pray. It's not selfish. It's not self-promotion. It's not for my name or my promotion, but it is for God's glory. And when that passion, when that zeal for God fills your heart, then you will pray like Asa. This is also how you need to pray for your family. Those little lambs in your home, they must be led to know the Lord, or they will dishonor the Lord. They will go the way of the world. They will not follow your footsteps. They will not follow your example. And those little innocent souls under our care, what a tragedy for them to be taken over by the cruel, vicious, and destructive powers of the world. We need to pray for God's glory, that they will be saved and that they will be kept. As Asa prayed, let not man prevail against thee. Do you get it? Do you get what this is all about? And now check your own prayer life. Are you praying like this? That's important to grasp. Now, we come near the end here today. We're getting close to the end of this message. But do you notice the beginning of verse 12, that it begins with so. Rejoice in God's passion to hear prayer. Rejoice in God's passion to hear prayer. Asa cried out to the Lord, right in the battle, in the heat of the battle. And the next verse says, so. See what happened? Asa prayed, God heard, and the battle was won by Judah. Oh, that we could be convinced that this is indeed the heart and the nature of God, that he loves to hear the prayers of his people. In Psalm 65, 2, the psalmist said, O thou that hearest prayer. That's God's delight. It's his passion. Don't think that when you're praying that you're trying to extract something out of the heart of God who is reluctant. It's not like a juicer that you have to squeeze all the juice reluctantly. And if you take that lemon in your hand and try and squeeze it, you can get so much. And then you need some pressure press. And some people think that God needs to be pressured that he will hear the prayers and the cries of his people. Well, that's not so. That's not true. Let's be done with that thinking. Think of the Lord's Prayer. Think of how the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father. We have one who loves us, whose interest is in us, who wants the very best for his children. And how the Lord Jesus gave that very story in Luke 11, where he gave the Lord's Prayer and went on to say that if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Now, parents, we want the best for our children. We want to see them prosper. We want to see them safe. We want to see them going on. Do not think that God is in any way less, but is indeed much more than any earthly father. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And that's the need for our boys and girls. Boys and girls need the Holy Spirit. They can live Spirit-filled lives. There is no reason that the child of a Christian should live like the child of the worldling. There is blessing, spiritual power. There is an indwelling of the Holy Ghost in the life of boys and girls that can make your home a Christian home. And you need to be like Asa, praying, Lord, so let it be in my home. Let it be in my family. Let it be with my children that they will not grow to mock, not grow to live in unbelief, but that they will rejoice and rest in the Lord. Let's put it this way. God is more inclined to hear than we are to pray. God's more interested in doing a work in your life and in your family and in this church than we are to come to a prayer meeting. God's interested. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able, but he's willing. The saints in glory know this. Christ intercedes at the throne while the saints worship there. Now, there's a text. I haven't led you to many Bible verses today. Now, I said I'm going to close, and I am. I am going to close. Didn't say when, but we're going to close very soon. And we're going to look at this verse, John 9:31. We'll sort of wrap up with this verse. John chapter 9 and verse 31. It's one of those verses that the preacher can't just quote. You have to read it for yourself and take it on board and see just the impact of it. Where the Lord Jesus said, now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. This experience and this blessing of prayer power with God is therefore for believers. And if you're not a Christian today, the first thing you need to do is to give your heart to the Lord. While you're unrepentant and loving your sin, God's not going to be for you. He's not going to fight your battles. God is going to leave you in your cold, dead condition until you cry out, have mercy on me and save my soul. But for the Christian, those that do know God, if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. There is our submission to God's will. And this experience and this blessing of prayer power with God is for believers. And he hears for Jesus' sake. And God hears when we obey him, when we do his will, and when we pray according to his will. So, I like that little word. I'm fascinated with that little word. So, what's God doing with your prayers? Can you point in your journal of life to a prayer answered by God? Surely, that has to be the testimony of a Christian. And I think if we only stop to dwell on it and count our many blessings and name them one by one, it would surprise us what the Lord hath done. And as in the battle of Asa, it was not some angel, it was not some hailstones that fell, it was not some miraculous phenomenon. It was God incrementally giving the victory to Asa's army over the odds, over the might of Zerah and his million-man army and those 300 chariots, just hour by hour in battle, God giving the victory more and more. And God works that in us too. And he leads us into victory and blessing by answering our cries and our prayers. I'm just scrolling on down and guess what? There's another point I didn't see here. But I said I'm going to close. I'll just give you the heading. Rest on God's pity for the weak. The Lord is able to them that have no power. And that's me. That's me. I have no power. But the Lord gives the victory. He's pitiful to the weak. That's one of the great things about the Christian life. We don't boast in our own strength. But the Lord takes the weak vessel and he demonstrates his power. Maybe you'll come back tonight and learn about that as we come to "My grace is sufficient for thee. My power is made perfect in weakness." Amen. We'll end there. We'll turn to our final hymn and we'll turn to number 600 again. That same hymn, Finlandia, that is based on the very text we preached today. We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe. So let's sing this, I hope, with a sense of what we've learned of God's power to help. 600. God, our Father, we thank Thee today that Thou art our God, and we are Thy people, that Thou art for us, and that You fight our battles. The battle is the Lord's. It is for Your name and Your glory. And we pray, O God, that Thou wilt work even as You did and hear the prayers of Asa. So let Your blessing descend. Bless each head bowed. Come by Your Spirit and give the blessing, give the victory, give a growth in grace, give peace of heart, give strength to overcome every challenge of this old world. And grant, Lord, that You will one day bring us home safely into our eternal home. Bless those amongst us that need the touch of God. Lord, forbid that they should live in coldness, but grant that today that Thou wilt renew them, draw them. And even that soul that is out of Christ perishing, today will You save, Lord. Have mercy. We ask Thee now to dismiss us, bless us, and may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with Your redeemed people now and evermore. Amen. Amen.